This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 121. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, Announcer Bot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just as a reminder, we have a Facebook fan page. You can just search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics on Facebook. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the podcast feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Finally, you can call the voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP. Action Comics, and Lex continues his run on the title. Kind of pushed Superman out of the title for the time being. And I have to say that Paul Cornell really knows how to write Luthor.
I've been enjoying this a lot.
And what I particularly like is that Lex is so self-assured and confident that he is narrating himself out loud. It's not like normally we'd have a character who's like thinking and you see his thoughts.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if I do this, I could disarm him by doing. It's like he's literally just talking.
And I really thought some of the background characters' conversations were really quippy and real fun. I thought that the dialogue was good.
Yeah. I find myself almost rooting for Lex. And that's pretty hard to do, because it would be very easy for a writer to write him as a caricature. And no, it's a much more fully realized character.
Now, Action Comics was where Superman started.
Right.
But it did used to be about different people, right? It wasn't always all Superman.
When it very first started, at the very beginning, it was a rotating cast, and there were several stories. And in fact, the first issue, of course, has Superman on the cover. But after that, he's not on the cover for like three or four more issues till they figure out how hugely popular he is. And then he never leaves the cover again until... You know, other than this this period with Lex and a few other rare occasions.
So it's not completely unlikely for Action to be not Superman.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely been done before. Then there's a backup story in Action with Superboy, and this is more of a tease for the new Jeff Lemire series. It's going to be an ongoing with Jeff Lemire, who does Sweet Tooth for Vertigo right now. Kind of felt like you were dropped in the middle of it, and then you realized at the end, oh, this is really more of a teaser than an actual story.
Yes, it says, oh, this will all be explained in Superboy number one. Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, it did seem very wacky and weird. Lots of stuff going on.
So I assume then that Superboy isn't going to be a continuing second feature in this?
Right. I think this is just a one-shot.
Okay. Is it going to have a second feature?
I don't know. They seem to keep going back and forth on this. I mean, the whole backup feature was a way for them to introduce the $3.99 cost for the comics more than anything. You know, to add a few more pages and say, okay, this is why it's costing more. And then I assume, and it looks like they're pretty much, you know, phasing those out. As people get used to it and seeing which titles can withstand $3.99 and which ones can't. All right, then we have Superman Batman number 75, and they certainly made a big deal out of issue 75 for this, almost as if they don't think it's going to make it to 100 or something.
Yeah, even inside they were kind of making fun of it.
Right, yeah. So the first half of the book is a story about Lexor and the Legion of Superheroes. I wasn't all that impressed with that story, and I'm certainly hoping that they didn't waste the entire Lexor storyline on this. The idea that, and this goes back to the Silver Age, and the idea that Lex finds this planet and he makes himself into the hero of this planet, and Superman is the villain. And so they're resurrecting that concept. I just hope they didn't just waste it on this, and they're going to continue that.
Right. I hardly got a feeling of that Lexor from this.
Right,
too.
Right. And the second half of the book were these two-page stories. And it started with, or at least some of the ones I really enjoyed were, there was a Supergirl Batgirl two-pager where there's very little of any dialogue. It's just really pretty. There's this discussion that's going on, like two separate discussions between Clark and Connor and Tim and Dick. We assume it's Dick.
Well, I believe it does say it is Dick.
It does say Dick.
Well, it doesn't say it's Dick, but the Batman in it says, well, he would never kiss Selina.
That, yeah, yeah.
So yeah. That sort of implies that it's not Bruce, of
right,
course.
Right, yeah. And so it's all about the kiss between Tim and Cassie in Teen Titans. Should they have done it? Should they say something? Should they tell each other what happened? And it was just a little cute two-pager. There was one Damian and Connor as older Superman and Batman called Eternal, which was a very moody piece. But the one I liked the most, and the one that actually got a lot of play on the net, I saw more than one reference to it just republishing it, was Joker and Lex, which was kind of a Calvin and Hobbes parody, where the Joker is an imaginary friend of Lex Luthor. And they just sit and talk. And it's just very cute.
Yes. You know, but the thing that got me was, you know, they had this in various blog postings and stuff, but no place that I saw actually referenced that it was from this book.
Right. Yeah, they just published it and like, oh, this is cute, and I think somebody thought it was a web comic or something. But it's like, no, it came from here. Why didn't you at least reference the book? It got all this play.
Now, just as an aside, because I don't think that you're talking about Batman Beyond.
Mm-hmm.
I read last week's Batman Beyond,
mm-hmm.
and then I read it after I read this, and it sort of harkened back, I thought, to the Dick and Damian Batman story in here, because they talk to Bruce, and Terry, the Batman,
mm-hmm.
was talking to the older Batmans.
Oh, right. Okay.
In that book.
Okay.
Because, you know, when I first read it, I always said, well, what happened to the old Robins?
Right.
In Batman.
Batman Beyond.
Beyond.
Right.
And so now you do get to find out what happened to them.
Well, and now they're trying to actually put Batman Beyond in continuity, which they really hadn't before.
Yes.
You know, it was really separate and based on the same concepts, but not in the same continuity. Now they're really trying to drop that in continuity. And apparently the Batman Beyond title that just came out, which I think is just a miniseries, is doing very well. And I suspect you may see that as an ongoing. All right, moving on to Superman Secret Origin number 6 of 6. Now, this has taken a while. Issue 5 came out on April 7th, and it's now the end of August.
Wow.
11 issues came out over, six issues came out over 11 months. And so it's essentially a bi-monthly. It wasn't intended to be, because it was supposed to be part of the whole War of the Supermen, kind of a tie-in to that. And it ended so late that War of the Supermen is long gone and over with. But it was still a great issue. And as in all the other issues, Gary Frank draws a really great Christopher Reeve. I mean, that's mm-hmm. clearly he's drawing Superman as Christopher Reeve.
And, right.
And I have to say, I teared up a little bit at the end to look up in the sky at the end. I thought that was really nice. I like that. Batman, R.I.P., The Missing Chapter.
I don't remember R.I.P., boy.
Yeah. Grant Morrison, little hint. We like complete stories. We don't like stories where you go, oh, yeah, this was so incomprehensible that we needed to go and write a missing chapter to explain what the heck just happened. So we learn that the Omega Sanction is like the ultimate trap for Batman. And it kind of explained why Bruce was sent back in time to begin with. It still doesn't explain everything, because it's still the trippy Grant Morrison stuff. But
yes.
At least you have a slightly better idea after this as to what the heck was going on.
Yes. I suppose that's correct. Although, I tell you, you know, Grant may be a wunderkind writer, but I sort of prefer some other people.
some a little bit more coherent. And again, it would have been just as easy to have taken this piece of the storyline and put it in RIP.
Yes.
When it was coming out, not later.
But then we would have known that Bruce was alive.
Well, I suppose. I suppose you had to
wait
a little bit. Even
though you had to assume.
Right. Yeah, everybody. It
all
wasn't
along
it, oh,
that
no.
Bruce was alive.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting rid of the Bruce Wayne character. He's never coming back.
Yeah.
No.
Right after we just bring back everybody else in the DC universe.
Yeah. All right. Outside of DC, we had Fringe, Tales from the Fringe number 3 from Wildstorm. And if you're not watching Fringe, certainly as a comic book fan, and I have to assume you are if you're listening to this podcast, you're missing out to not watch Fringe. There was even a major reference in the season finale to alternate versions of famous DC covers.
Yes.
So really, and just in general, it's a really good show. And so we get to see kind of the origin story for the Astrid character, who, of all the characters on the show, really has the least backstory.
Right.
I mean, you really don't know much about her at all. And so you learn a little bit about how she first gets involved with the FBI. The second story is this really creepy story called The Weapon, where they're breaking into this ultra-secure government vault, and they have to go through all these levels, and there's these lots of double crosses and people getting shot, and when they finally get in there, it's a nursery, and the last remaining person takes the kid.
It appears to be the kid's mom.
Mother. Yeah, the kid's mother. Later, the mother's found apparently horribly murdered, and we have to assume the culprit is the baby.
And they're recovering the weapon, which
right.
is
yeah.
the baby.
Yeah, the baby. So, just a weird story. Madame Xanadu, and we're continuing through the five senses. And as far as we know, once they finish the five senses, that's the end of this title. I don't think they, which is a real shame. This is the smell issue, and it's this weird combination of children's book art with a horror story.
Yes.
Just a bizarre combination, and it works really well, I think.
It does.
If you haven't had a chance to read Madame Xanadu, you really should, even though there's only a couple issues left. Good, it's Vertigo, so it'll be available in trades.
Well, I have to say I've liked these later issues even more than I liked the initial ones.
Because it's almost like an anthology series with Madame Xanadu kind of showing up as a peripheral character.
Yes.
More than about her, necessarily. Mm-hmm. Well, before we get out of here, I think it's time to play America's fastest growing new game show.
Guess who's on the cover of Entertainment Weekly? Yeah, last week we didn't have an issue because it had been a special double week.
Right.
This week we do have an issue.
Okay.
And I think Mark will have an issue also.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready, Mark?
I'm ready. Movie related?
Sort of.
Sort of. Is it some sort of list?
Yes.
Okay. So it's multiple media in the list. Okay.
That's correct.
All right. So is it related to top actors or top characters?
More towards characters.
More towards characters.
That's not a yes or no question.
Not a yes or no. Well, let's see. So it's more towards characters, and is it in one particular genre?
Yes.
Okay. Is it science fiction?
Yes.
Is it fantasy?
Not really.
But it's a genre.
Yes.
Superhero related?
No.
So science, more science fiction. more science fiction. Is it related to other genres other than science fiction?
Well, It's kind of hard to say.
Hard to zoom in on this. It's science.
Although, I guess there is a superhero on the cover, too.
Oh. So, it's kind of all over the map.
It is.
Okay, so... But the characters are somehow related by something.
Well,
hence the list.
Sort of. You only have like 6 seconds.
Oh,
left.
I haven't a clue.
And you never would have gotten this.
Okay.
Sexy beasts. 64 aliens, vampires, werewolves, mutants, and more in our irresistible summer bowl.
Oh, geez.
Okay, so given that. Can you guess who might be one of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7
well,
characters on the cover?
I'm assuming one of them is those stupid glowy vampires.
Exactly. That's correct.
I don't know who else.
So you've got a glowy vampire.
Yeah.
What did you call those villains from Battlestar Galactica? A Cylon.
Cylon. Okay. The Cylon. Okay.
Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
Okay.
Another werewolf from True Blood.
Okay.
Zoe Saldana from Avatar.
Uh-huh.
Halle Berry from the X-Men. Ian Somerhalder from The Vampire Diaries.
Of course.
So that was just a dumb cover.
So Entertainment Weekly ran out of ideas.
Entertainment Weekly wanted to hit like 8 different fan bases at one time.
Yes. Want to remind you about that Facebook fan page. You can search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. You can go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, other SF podcasts and blogs, or you can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9-SVIP.
SVIP. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.